Good evening. This is Mae Bressel. The title of this one-hour broadcast is World Watchers. It is program number 802, April the 20th, 1987. I'll continue more with about Reader Irvine and accuracy in media in a few weeks. There are just some other matters I wanted to share with you at this time. All of you, of course, saw Amy Carter with Abbie Hoffman, either read about it or saw it on television, their victory against the Central Intelligence Agency for recruiting on the campus, and they're trying to illustrate the problems of the intelligence community, particularly, they said, in Nicaragua. And the judge and the jury were sympathetic to what they were doing. The important point about this young lady's activism is that as she grows, she just can't stop with the CIA or a particular issue. It's very easy for people who are political activists to stick with a particular issue, such as CIA in Nicaragua. In a few years, she's going to have to ask her daddy why he appointed Zbigniew Brzezinski as his national security advisor. She may even get a few questions in about Jonestown. And she may ask Jimmy Carter why he accepted $17 million for the Carter Library from Ryosha Sasakawa. The number one fascist in Japan describes himself as a fascist who throws money around the United States and elsewhere to be respectable, hoping to get the Nobel Peace Prize someday. The issue here is fascism. It's nice to approach a single issue such as CIA in Nicaragua, but the National Security Council, the NSC, and the Defense Intelligence Agency, or Navy Intelligence, are the agencies to watch, particularly NSC and the DIA, because they give the CIA their orders. And you can't get papers from the Defense Intelligence Agency or the National Security Council. There's no Freedom of Information Act from those people, and they're protected. And then on down, the CIA can be the whipping boy, and it often is, and it isn't perfect. But above them are people even higher who give the orders for the things that the CIA does, and when the CIA is caught, then everyone attacks the CIA. Amy Carter, want to ask Daddy about the Trilateral Commission and his work with the Trilateral Commission. He was handpicked by them to be the president and interim president between Richard Nixon and Ronald Reagan's presidency. There was a meeting of the Trilateral Group in San Francisco this last month, and of course Henry Kissinger was there. He's a member. Elliot Richardson was there. He is a member. He was Nixon's Secretary of Defense. You remember what went on in Vietnam, Laos, and Cambodia under Elliot Richardson. And then after he was through with the Vietnam experience, he was heavily involved in Iran and with persons gun running and sending weapons to Khomeini in Iran. Frank Carlucci attended, and he's currently the National Security Advisor for Ronald Reagan, and he played an instrumental part in coups in Portugal and also the dictatorship in 1964 in Brazil that kept that country in a military dictatorship for 22 years. Russell Phillips was at the meeting this year, executive vice president of the Rockefeller Brothers Fund. Michael Kamedesus, managing director of IMF. Thomas Labrique, president of Rockefeller's Chase Manhattan Bank. Winston Lord, who's our handpicked ambassador to Red China, the handpicked by Henry Kissinger and Fritz Kramer, that clique. Paul Volcker was there, chairman of the Federal Reserve Board, Caspar Weinberger, Alexander Haig. These are all very active members in the Trilateral Commission that worked with Jimmy Carter. So Amy has taken her first step, or she's crawled that first inch on her knees. And as she grows up and as people in this country grow up, they're going to have to ask questions about these other persons and demand some answers. Now, this is the week where there will be demonstrations and marches in New York, San Francisco, I mentioned them before, Los Angeles, protesting policies of apartheid in South Africa, the United States policies in El Salvador, Nicaragua, Guatemala, the death squads, and so forth. And a lot of groups will be represented. One of the heroes of the anti-war movement, of the anti-nuclear weapons, the anti-Star Wars, he's very popular and he lectures around the country, is Robert Bowman, Robert M. Bowman, B-O-W-M-A-N. Many of you have heard him. Many of you take his newsletter. He has a newsletter called Space and Security News. And I suggest you send for this letter, join the group, Volume 4, Number 1, March 1987. I want to share with you a list that he has made for discussing his anti-Star Wars stance and anti-war in general, but anti-Star War in particular, because he's so popular with those persons fighting the weapon system and the space war system. And when I just barely hinted or suggested that Bowman was covering up Fritz Kramer, some loyal fans of his were very angry, or, you know, a little bit outraged, like, he's all we've got, quit knocking him down. So in this last issue that I cited here, I better give you the address if you want to send for it. Many of you have this and some of you don't. 7833 C Street, Chesapeake Beach, Maryland, 20732. And I'll put it on the printed sheet that accompanies this broadcast. And if you want, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to me, and I'll give you the address in case I went too fast. But in having parts of the congressional record, his anti-war, anti-Star Wars stance in this newsletter, he's printed a list of names who are the lunatic fringe. He says, we're always getting asked, who are the lunatics behind this anyway? It turns out that a number of core supporters of Star Wars is actually very small, and they're not all lunatics. They are ideologues, spies, charlatans, crooks, and greedy men, probably some very sincere but misguided men, even a few women, very few, with ideological and financial interests that are overlapping. And to our surprise, he said, we keep coming up with the same names and organizations behind arms shipments to Iran and scandals involved spying for Israel, the promotion of Israeli arms merchants. And those interested in the complete report can write for it. The following is a list of the names we keep running across the most often at the top. And he lists these names, and I broke the list down into alphabetical order, and I'm going to read you the names he has, and some you will recognize that I've had on the air. Others I've waited too long to put on the air, have many articles on them, and I'm going to move with those as soon as possible. He has Morris Amate and Abington Corporation. See if these sound familiar to you. Stephen D. Bryan, B-R-Y-E-N, Carl Bendiston. So Shona Bryan, the wife of Stephen Bryan, Colonel Ralph Broman, Charles Brooks, Arnaud de Borchgrave, Rudy Boschwitz, the governor of Minnesota, Joseph Coeur, Paul Cutter, Lord Chalfont, Fred Fulner, Howard J. Feldman, Jerry Falwell, Frank Gaffney, Lieutenant General Daniel Graham, Colin Gray, Robert Keith Gray, Jack Hume, Admiral Hayward, Maxwell Hunter, Frank Hober, Max Campbellman, Jack Kemp, Gene Kirkpatrick, David Kemche, Major George Keegan, John Lehman, Michael Ledeen, Barbara Ledeen, Joe Lehman, Christopher Lehman, Colonel William Mott, Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North, Seymour Weiss, Richard Pearl, Eugene Rostow, Richard Mellenscaife, Hal Sonnenfeld, Leon Sloss, William Snyder, Edward Teller, Wilson Talley, Lieutenant General Teach Jr., General John Voigt, William Van Cleve, Richard Vagary, Charles Wick, Albert Wallstetter, and Paul Weyrich. Now, some of those you know, and some I've shared with you on World Watchers, and some you don't know, and there's a few that I don't know. And then he lists the corporations, the crazy lunatics, the Heritage Foundation, the Jewish Institute for National Security Affairs, that's JINSA, the initials JINSA, High Frontier, Abington, Helionetics, Madison Group, Committee on the Present Danger, Hoover Institution of War, Revolution, and Peace, Tamaris Limited, Soltam Limited, Establishment Salgad, European Defense Associates, Hertz Foundation, Neuberger and Berman Incorporated, Committee for a Free World, and Council for a National Policy. Now, he describes these as the lunatic fringe, and I'll identify a few for you. But the people he's left out of this, and I, when he was speaking at a luncheon here, I asked him about this. He's aware of this man. He has for Sven Kramer. I forgot to put that one. That's important. He has Sven, S-V-E-N, Kramer on the list as one of the lunatic fringe. The names he leaves out are Fritz Kramer, the father who has been a lunatic much longer than the son who was a small baby in Nazi Germany, Fred Ickley of the Defense Department, Lord Carrington, who's the head of NATO and helped form Kissinger Associates, Alexander Haig, who along with Kissinger was a protege and is of Fritz Kramer, Lawrence Eagleburger, John McCone, William Buckley, William Simon, Claire Luce, John Singlaub, and Admiral Moore. And I will write to him or call him and talk about these people. Now, the Bryans have been brought up in many articles that I want to share with you and haven't done. Stephen Bryan and Shoshona Bryan of the Defense Department. William Buckley formed Young Americans for Freedom. He has Richard Vagary as important. When it was William Buckley and Douglas Caddy that formed YAF and had Ronald Reagan on the board with Charles Willoughby and Robert Morris. He doesn't have Robert Morris, who's one of the absolute most important kingpins of the group. John McCone of the CIA, CIA director when Kennedy was killed, when Allende was killed, who's soon to get a Freedom Award from Ronald Reagan. He does not have him, and he's very important. He has put Mr. Sonnenfeld, part of the Kramer-Kissinger-Haig team, on the list, but he left out Lawrence Eagleburger, who was important enough to help Kissinger Associates. He's the president or vice president, a high official in Kissinger Associates, and he's left off Mr. Scowcroft, who was national security advisor under Jimmy Carter, who helped John Tower write the report that would protect the NSC. The names that he's left off tell you as much about the list as the ones he has on, because we hear a lot about Michael Ledeen or Barbara Ledeen, but you learn just as much about Claire Luce. She's on the Foreign Intelligence Advisory Board. She's a Knight of Malta. She's on the Committee for Present Danger. She's on John Singlaub's committee. She's in Accuracy and Media. And William Simon is on every one of these groups. The team from Western Goals, Edward Teller, she's listed. He's important, but the people with Edward Teller from Western Goals are equally as important, such as John Singlaub and William Simon. And Robert Morris is important. The real kingpins, I believe, in these operations, and I've said it many times, are Kramer, Ickley, Carrington, currently the president of NATO and co-partner of Kissinger Associates, Haig, Eagleburg, Scowcroft, McCone, Buckley, Simon, Lou Singlaub, and Admiral Moore. If you're going to put Oliver North, you certainly should have John Singlaub. And it's obvious that neither one of us now have put in the lower echelon, such as Secord and Hakim, or Thomas Kleins or Theodore Shackley. But the list that he has, he calls the lunatic fringe, which is only part of the problem. And the other part is being able to see the whole story. That's why I mentioned Amy Carter should see it, and Mr. Bauman should see it for the whole story, because if you call some of the runts in the litter the lunatic fringe, then who are the people over them? And I mean much over them, such as the ones that are not on this list. There's an article I had, about a year ago, titled Mole in the Defense Department, Richard Pearl Spies for Sharon, and this has to do with the Mossad and our Defense Department working together, and it was published in 1986, just a year ago next week, May the 2nd, 1986. And this one article mentions at least six or seven people in the lunatic fringe that Mr. Bowman has listed, and I want to share this with you, because one of the deepest, darkest secrets of the researchers is the people who say you absolutely can't use anything that the people that write for Lyndon LaRouche publish. And yet, I notice that Mr. Bowman, fighting Star Wars and fighting the defense establishment, having once been in it as an officer in the Air Force, is using this material, and we have to ask ourselves, who are those people that say, thou shalt not use it, you can't use it, or else? Now, there are a team of people that say if you use this material, you are through as a researcher. And I want to do more on that, on sources of information later, maybe next week, on this giving orders. You can't do that. There's three people that are doing that presently. One is Sarah Diamond up at KPFA up in the Bay Area, who's writing quite a bit now for Covert Action and other papers. Al Ross in New York and Kevin Coogan in New York. There are three of those that say thou shalt not, and they're part of a team just as earlier, around 1967, Sylvia Marr and Harold Weisberg, and Sylvia Marr and Harold Weisberg, and some of the researchers said, thou shalt not talk to Jim Garrison, and thou shalt not read the Torbett document when it came out in 1970. And if you did, those people wrote you off as being somebody that you could not touch or relate to if you used the Torbett document or information that Jim Garrison had in New Orleans. Now, that sort of tapered off, and these people turned out later to be working, a lot of them, right in the system that had been criticized as being fascist anyway. Victor Marchetti, incidentally, is now working for Spotlight, giving favorable reviews to a German who says there's no such thing as a Holocaust, and these people didn't die in the concentration camp, and Mark Lane works for Liberty Lobby. And just watch as time evolves. Sylvia Marr is now a screener for books for Simon & Schuster, and they turned down Jim Garrison's book after giving him a deposit on the basis of what she said. So give yourself 8 or 9 years and see where these people go. And just to give you an example of something published in a Lyndon LaRouche newspaper just a year ago, and it's timely because of the Thou Shalt Not whispering campaign that's going on these people, and also because Mr. Bowman is so respected by the people who are anti-Star Wars and using the shuttle program for First Strike Offensive and so forth, and anti-nuclear bombs, people in the system who are against the warfare mechanics that are going on. There's a big movement of those people, and he puts his hit list of lunatics. So I want to share one article with you regarding those names that are used in the story. And this article, as I said, came out in May a year ago. The bustling of the Israeli-Iranian gun-running ring should lead investigators to the offices of Deputy Secretary of Defense Richard Perle, head of Technology Transfer Branch at the Pentagon. Now, remember, this was written in May, and Eugene Hassenfuss didn't land until October of 86, and there was no discussion of Iranian gun running by the public until Hassenfuss had landed, and then the story broke about the Iran-Contra connections. This was written before, and the newspaper, the EIR, and the New Solidarity had been publishing articles about gun running to Khomeini going on since 1979. So Richard Perle is mentioned here as sending guns to Iran from the Technology Transfer Branch of the Pentagon. Perle just resigned a week ago officially as a member of the Defense Department, maybe because of his links of the arms to Iran. The article says this news service has already caught Perle attempting to sabotage various commitments of Japan. Perle's swift firing is the signal required for the United States to reassure Japan, contrary to Perle's complications, that Star Wars is a long-term strategic commitment. Now, this article says that Perle was fired in 1986, but he was brought back on the team, of course, and just left, in quotes, voluntarily several weeks ago. The article goes on, Perle is a top member of the ring of high-level operatives of the Israeli Mossad who have infiltrated themselves into key positions in the administration. Not only is Perle an agent for a foreign government, he's linked to a select section of the Israeli Mossad under Israeli Defense Minister Ariel Sharon, the same deal that Sharon was making earlier with the Soviet Union, the same nest that controls the illegal arms shipments to Iran. Key to the Sharon deal and with Mr. Perle are the areas of the American high technology that are giving secrets to Israel, and then Israel and the Mossad have been giving them to Moscow in exchange for Soviet Jews being able to settle on the occupied West Bank and Golan Heights. Could Richard Perle knowingly lend himself to such activities? Going back as far as 1970, Perle was caught spying for Israeli. A wiretap on the Israeli embassy in Washington revealed through classified information, and it went to the National Security Council when they ordered the wiretaps, and it was leaked to the press. But he managed to retain his security clearance and post because he was an aide to the late Senator Henry Jackson. Now, Henry Jackson went down. He died of a heart attack, in quotes, the night after Larry McDonald went down, and Pearl, being his protege and aide, then went on to the Defense Department after Jackson died that evening. His death was hardly noticed because of the commotion of the Korean airline. The article continues, Jinsa spy nest. Now, Mr. Robert Bowman has Jinsa as one of the evil groups around, the crazies that are surrounding our Defense Department and our policies and arms to Iran. In 1976, Pearl and other top Mossad agents founded an organization called the Jewish Institute for National Security Affairs, Jinsa, which worked to put operatives in key positions in the United States government. Along with Pearl, other members of Jinsa was Michael Ledeen. That's the next member that's on the list of Mr. Bowman, who's mentioned this article. Michael Ledeen is a self-avowed universal fascist who worked as a consultant to Alexander Haig, who I say should be on the list, when Haig was Secretary of State. Ledeen is now a consultant to the National Security Council. His wife, Barbara Ledeen, who's also on the list of Mr. Bowman, who with Meyer Kahane associate Joseph Cherba, works with Joseph Cherba, he founded the Center for International Security, is a promoter of the Temple Mount plot to blow up the Muslim shrine in Jerusalem. And I have to do more with you on the plans of certain people in Israel to blow up this shrine. Barbara Ledeen works under Pearl in the technology transfer branch. So that's Barbara Ledeen, Michael Ledeen, and Mr. Pearl, Richard Pearl. Stephen Bryan, this article goes on, he's another member of Mr. Bowman's crazy list, Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense working under Pearl in the same is in the same branch. From April the 1st, 1978 to April 1st, 79, this is all under Jimmy Carter and Zbigniew Brzezinski, Bryan was on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee staff. He was also the subject of a Justice Department criminal investigation. He was overheard discussing with the Israeli embassy officials how Israel could retain control of the U.S. Congress. Freedom of Information Act documents reveal that Bryan was considered to be an agent of Zir Rafia, then counselor to the Israeli embassy, who also doubled as a Mossad station chief in Washington. The Freedom of Information document says the FBI has good circumstantial evidence that Mr. Rafia, and it's implied that Mr. Rafia had given Mr. Bryan orders, which he carried out. Another Jinsa racket centered around the Abington Corporation, owned by Jinsa. Now, Abington is another organization listed by Mr. Bowman, a very respectable establishment person who on his list cites not only Jinsa, but Abington Corporation. The owner and head of Abington is John Lehman, another person on the list of Mr. Bowman, and currently Secretary of the Navy. Now, this was written in 1986. In 1987, when the Iran-Contra story began to come apart, and the role of the Mossad and the Israeli intelligence with Jonathan Pollard and with setting up the arms to Khomeini during the Reagan administration, John Lehman, just a few weeks ago, resigned from the Navy as Secretary of the Navy, and the Deputy Secretary of Defense, Richard Pearl, resigned. So is it just coincidental that Lehman and Pearl resigned at the same time? They're both cited in this article working with Michael Ledeen, Barbara Ledeen, Stephen Bryan, and Mr. Bryan's wife. Jinsa Corporation was run by Lehman, current Secretary of the Navy. It employed Richard Pearl in the 1970s. Abington struck up a relationship with the Israeli weapons and munitions firm called Soltam, also on the list, advising Soltam how to induce the Pentagon to buy Soltam weapons. Petty corruption is not the issue in the matter of sending arms to Iran, this article goes on. In the summer of 1985, law enforcement agents uncovered an illegal arms ring that was transferring weapons to Iran. Arrested was Wayne Gillespie of the Army Material Command at the Pentagon. Remember, these people were arrested for sending arms to Iran while Ronald Reagan and the National Security Council were sending arms to Iran. Arrested was Gillespie. Also arrested was Farin Senai, a known Iranian arms smuggler, Amir Hosseini, an officer of Khomeini's intelligence service known as the Savama. The ringleader of the operation was Paul Seixola, and his alias is Paul Cutter. That's another name recognized by Robert Bauman as being on the lunatic fringe. This is just one more person in just one article. And Paul Cutter lives in Los Gatos, California, and he worked with Cyrus Hashemi. He worked with Albert Hakim, Adnan Khashoggi, and they had been sending weapons to Khomeini for a long, long time. Paul Cutter was arrested along with these other gentlemen, and on the basis of evidence presented August 20th, 1986, Seixola and six members of the ring were indicted by a federal grand jury in Orlando, Florida. 1985, pardon me. They were indicted the first time, then they were arrested, another group, in 1986. There were several dozen counts of conspiracy, arms trafficking, and wire fraud. Investigation showed that Seixola, who operated under the cover of the military electronics countermeasures, was connected to the Mossad. In 1982, he went to Israel and met Sharon. The trip was sponsored by Richard Perle and the organization known as GINSA. After he accepted Perle's offer to run guns for Iran, Seixola was put on the board of directors of GINSA. Now, this is one of the many, many articles I have listing Paul Cutter, alias Seixola, or he was born Seixola, S-J-E-K-L-O-C-H-A, and I'll be doing a lot more of him, with Stephen Bryan and GINSA and Abington Corporation and John Lehman and Richard Perle and Barbara Ledeen and Michael Ledeen. And there's a cast of characters that have been weaving in and out of many, many articles. And as I say, there's a team that says, you can't use this information or else. And of course, I refuse to take orders from those teams, and they can do all the bad mouthing. I went through plenty with Mark Lane and Sylvia Marr, and I'm pretty tough, and watch these people go. And 8 or 9 years from now, watch them, because anybody who's so firm that you can't use this material has some reason why you can't use the material. Another article in Executive Intelligence Review, September 13, 1985, is called Guns for Khomeini, the Mossad Connection. And keep in mind that hardly anybody else except Executive Intelligence Review was writing this kind of story. It says, it goes back to that case I just referred to, July 31st, the federal authorities arrested in Orlando, Florida, a gun-running ring that had equipment of more than $75 million worth of weapons for Khomeini. It was illicit arms smuggling, involved Paul Cutter, alias Seixola, an Israeli agent since 1982, when he was invited by Defense Minister Ariel Sharon to the Jewish Institute for National Security. Seixola's involvement in illegal weapons to Khomeini's regime implicates sections of the United States Defense Department. Official Dr. Stephen Bryan, the fellow whose name is on the list, one-time director of GINSA, and a board member, together with Assistant Secretary of Defense Richard Perle. Joseph Cherba, former Mideast desk chief, Air Force intelligence, and personal friend of Defense League founder Meir Kahani, and this plot also involves Georgetown University's Michael Ledeen, another Defense Department agent, Shoshana Bryan, the wife of Stephen Bryan. Now, Joseph Cherba is somebody whose name I'm going to go into detail next week with you, but I want to bring it in because it's in this one article linking him to this group. Joseph Cherba is very close to Robert Morris and Reed Irvine of Accuracy in Media, and the team that wants, in quotes, Accuracy in Media works very, very close with Fritz Kramer. Cherba and Kramer on the board of one of Reverend Moon's institutes, along with some other distinguished people you know. Fritz Kramer is part of this, and Alexander Haig, of course, played the role of sending the weapons as soon as Ronald Reagan was elected via Israel to continue feeding Khomeini's hunger for weapons to be sent to him even when the Shah was out. Now, there were some persons from Israeli intelligence that were arrested in that original bust going back a couple of years ago. One was General Avraham Bar-Am, a senior Israeli intelligence officer, Israel Eisenberg, age 55. This group was arrested in 1 year later in New York City. There were two large shipments, and this one also involved Joseph Cherba and Dr. Saul Leites of the Hudson Institute and Professor Richard Pipes. And remember, Midge Dechter, of the accuracy in media is affiliated with Hudson Institute, as is Edward Teller, and location of the Star Wars bombs and research are located, as he identified several weeks ago, in the Hudson Institute. He moved his agency for official record at the Hudson Institute to do a lot of work with their plans for Star Wars. Now, the Israeli intelligence is closely linked to these areas of the far, far right in this country. Mr. Bowman refers to as the lunatic fringe, but as far as lunatics, they're perfectly normal people running the National Security Council, the Defense Department, and even higher up, as I said before, than the CIA. I'll take a one-minute break now and continue with some other news that I think is important. And in the weeks to come, I'm going to go back to those names in more detail so that you become familiar with them.